there are certain things that are becoming really a great way to identify a certain time of year. It's the swallows from to Capistrano effect. And one is that we will have the Spokane Symphony do its opening for the year. And the other, over the last few years, is that we will have a major opera production in town. And Inland Northwest Opera is certainly doing exactly that with a major opera production. No shrinking away from anything, taking on one of the truly great Puccini operas of Madame Butterfly. So we get Butterfly herself in a little bit, and we get the director of Spokane Opera, Don Volsky, right now. Hello, Don.
Good morning.
And, you know, always the inevitable question. You have the whole world of operas to choose from and all the different great things about an opera. You know, who's available, what we need to hear and all that stuff. What makes you pull down and focus on something and end up with Madame Butterfly?
Oh, gosh. That's a great question. Madame Butterfly is just one of the most beloved operas in the repertoire, and the story is one of the best known. It's been repackaged in the musical theater world as Miss Saigon and a few others, but I have to say our audiences asked for it.
Oh, nice.
They said, we want to hear some Puccini, and it had been just long enough. The last time we did Madame Butterfly was in 2008, and we thought, okay, we can bring it back, and I guess that's how we made that decision.
Well, it's two things. I mean, certainly it's that great opera. It's that utterly memorable arias and things. And then there's the political overtone, the twinging of, you know, the American imperialist story that comes into it too. And I don't know. We'll get into that a little farther of how much that does or doesn't matter, whether that's the point or the vehicle. On this opera, because of course it also has to do with the nature of men and women and love and all of these things. But beyond that, people ask for it and it's popular. What other things? Did you have some casting in mind already in doing it?
You know, I did. And she's sitting right here next to me. Casting the lead for Madame Butterfly is one of the hardest casting decisions I've had to make, and it's hard for any director because it's such a unique role. You have to have someone who can take this incredible journey from the start to the end of the opera and who vocally can handle that journey. I mean, Butterfly starts off as such an innocent character with such hope, and the colors in the voice have to be able to handle that. And when you get to the full drama at the end, you have to have a voice who can just bring it, really, is what we're looking at. And I scoured the entire country to find the right person, and I worked really hard to get Liz Caballero here. She is in high demand and one of the most sought after butterflies in the country at the moment, and my director and everybody were just beyond themselves that we brought her in. And then, of course, from there, we were able to really create an incredible cast. I mean, I don't think we've had some incredible casts here in the region, but this is by far one of the best we've ever been able to bring.
And so in addition to now really popular and hard to get, she's also our old friend who's been here off and on for a while, Liz Caballero.
Hi, how
Elizabeth
are you?
Elizabeth Caballero. Welcome back.
Very nice to be back.
I don't know, three or four or five things here, but going back quite a ways, haven't you?
I've done a few things here in Spokane. I got to do Bohème a few seasons ago when it was Coeur d'Alene Opera. And then I was invited back by Maestro Eckhart to do the Verdi Requiem. And I got to do a Beethoven Ninth and then a New Year's Eve, too, which was fun. So it was nice to be asked to come back to this area because this is so beautiful. I always enjoy coming back up here.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to have you back, and it certainly will be when we encounter this opera. And a singer has choices of what operas to sing. What drew you toward getting really deeply invested in
Madame Butterfly?
In Chausson.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just very lucky that that it fits my voice well. It really fits really comfortably. And the more I do it, the more comfortable I get with the role. Like those moments. What's so great about when you have a role like Madame Butterfly, the first time I tackled it was like, in 2009, I believe, when I did it in Kansas City. And that was, I was already like hesitant about singing the role because it is such a demanding soprano role. And I always said, I'm just going to do this with my voice, with my instrument. I'm never going to try and be anything else that I'm not. I'm not going to try and be Callis or Tibaldi or Freni, Scotto, any of these characters. I'm going to be my, you know, my butterfly, Elizabeth Caballero, my butterfly. And the first time I did it, there were some really great moments that I did a lot of the self-discovery of myself. And then when I dusted her off again, it felt really wonderful that those moments that I was having difficult vocal moments with, they just became easier. And the next time I tackled her again, those became easier. And again, and again, and again. So it always feels so wonderful whenever you can dust off a role and bring her back again and be like, oh yeah, this feels great. And that's how it always has been with Madame Butterfly. And the moments that were quote unquote easy before feel great still. And the moments that were a little bit more difficult, they are starting to feel more in tune with me and my voice, and I'm tackling them and expressing them in a better way. So that's always a nice feeling as a singer and as the singing actor that I like to be.
It's a fun thing that you just implied strongly that that you singers have this wonderful luck that you of what you've chosen and by being a singer, that in investing in a role and then living it throughout your life, you get to have that role.
Yeah,
as a good friend throughout a big part of your life.
It is nice, and I can say that with several Puccini girls. I've been able to have Mimi in my life for a long time, and Musetta, and Magda in La Rondine, and Chocho San is another one of those Puccini girls that I get to dust off and sing her every once in a while. And it's nice to realize how much I'm growing as a singer and getting more comfortable in these roles.
Elizabeth Caballero, who sings Chocho San in Madame Butterfly. Let's do this. Let's get just a moment of hearing your singing. This is just a few moments of Ancora un Paso. What's going on right here when we're about to hear this little moment from the opera?
You want me to describe what's happening?
Yeah, describe. Then we're just going to hear the quick
Sure. Well, this is very, very early on in the opera. We've met Pinkerton and we've met the consulate Sharpless, and they are discussing that they're going to meet this beautiful geisha named Shosho-san. And this is her wedding entrance. So she is basically introducing herself to everyone at the party and her new husband to be.
Let's hear this moment. So that moment, this was what, Pensacola Opera?
That was in Pensacola Opera. That was the last time I got to do Butterfly a few years ago, like 2 years ago.
Okay. And so so that's kind of the sense of that. So that's the wedding. That's relatively early on. So it's an understatement to say that in the course of this opera, Chocho-san goes through an awful lot.
Quite a lot.
Quite a trip. And this is fairly early on. You do what Puccini tells you, and Puccini takes care of you. But how do you lean into that of the change in her attitude, her character, the things that happen to her? Because this is early. Do you change anything in how you sing as the opera goes?
No, I mean, I, honest to God, I really think Puccini wrote a really beautiful score and was really sensitive to the actress who was going to sing Chocho-san, because we have to realize that she is only 15 years old when the opera starts, and later on she's 18. It's been 3 years since she's been waiting. So it's when he wrote for her, he was trying to be very unique too, I guess, in the sense when he wrote for her, the music is very light and very delicate, and they're very there are moments of where he's trying to sound kind of Asian inspired in his music, and when he wrote for the Americans, it's very big and brassy and rah rah rah, you know. So it's very cute the way he does that. So the music for Pinkerton is actually when He doesn't sing as much as Butterfly, but his music, he has to fight more with the orchestra, whereas Butterfly, since she's on there a lot more, there are moments, you know, when there is a lot of big struggle with the orchestra. But in general, he's quite kind to her, and I've looked at the score, the full score, and he's very delicate with her. So it's very nice to be an actor in this role where you can do a lot of those quasi parlando moments, where almost spoken moments. So you get to rest a little here. And one of my favorite Chocho songs, for example, is the great Renata Scotto. And I love listening to a lot of her recordings early on, later on, everything. Maria Callas too. And I love what they would do, where they would take moments where they would rest. And they're still doing those, you know, almost spoken, almost singing moments. But they're being very smart. They're resting, and they're able to portray an actor. And then there are the moments when you do have to put on the big pants, the girl pants on, and just let it rip and let the orchestra wail and just seal you. And my conductor is just so wonderful, and he's so sensitive and delicate. And we've had moments where he's like, yeah, I'm going to make sure that the orchestra here is not covering you, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just great when you have like collaborators, and where we can all work together, and just we're here just doing the show together, you know, at the end of the day. Yes, it's called Madam Butterfly, but we're all doing the show together. And it's just beautiful that we can all do that.
And that conductor is Dean Williamson,
yes,
who we've known for a while. I mean, and we haven't seen him in a while either. And that was pretty neat that you could get him back to do this.
Well, you know, maybe he'll tell you the story when he's here on Thursday. Okay, but when he was just trying to get his feet wet as a conductor, he was still playing piano for Seattle Opera. And he decided, I've got to break out and just do conducting. This was roughly 20 years ago. His last day came, and he kind of freaked out and said, what did I do? Was this the right choice? And that is when Bill Graham called him from Spokane Opera here and asked him to come conduct Madam Butterfly. Mm-hmm. So that's where he cut his teeth, in Spokane. And now as Inland Northwest Opera, which comes from Opera Coeur d'Alene, but really our legacy also is from Spokane Opera as well. He's now back, so he's got a real soft spot for this region and for this particular opera. He conducted the first opera that was ever done in the Fox Theater back in 2008, and it's actually just an incredible cast. I mean, I have
to
say,
he really is such a sensitive conductor. I am loving my collaboration with him. Always have. I've worked with Dean many, many times before. And when I found out that he was going to be conducting this Butterfly, we messaged back and forth many times and talked about what to do and yada, yada. And it's just, and he really, really, truly is a singer's conductor. And you can tell how much he loves the human voice. And as a singer, it's so, so nice to work with a conductor like that, that they understand the difference between the instrumentalist. I hate separating us, but we really are different animals, you know, the instrumentalist and the singers, you know, we all like to consider ourselves musicians, but at the end of the day, we're kind of different animals. And it's so nice when you get a conductor that can truly understand that.
And what we are talking about, if you're just joining us, is Madam Butterfly, just Friday night at 7:30 and Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Fox, presented by Inland Northwest Opera. I can't stay away from the politics, from the storyline, and there's no tenors here to defend themselves. so we'll let Chocho San maybe get her a little revenge here. Okay, what about Pinkerton? Is there anything redeeming in this guy that swept you off your feet when you were 15?
I was having this chat with Sandy Eddy, who's singing Suzuki, and she was talking about how much she hates Pinkerton, and I'm like, you know what, I don't hate him. I mean, he's a naval officer. He shows up to Japan, and he falls in love with the country and everything exotic and beautiful about it. And it just so happens that this other beautiful character, I really, truly believe he fell in love with her. And everything that happens in Act One is genuinely sincere. And I do think that at the end of the opera, he's remorseful. He's a young man, and he is just living the moment. And I can't fault him for that. I don't hate him. And there's no idea he had no idea that this woman was, A, going to get pregnant and wait for him all that time. So I don't hate him. I can't fault him. And it's just, for me, it's just a beautiful, bittersweet love story. And it's not misogynistic. It's not political. It's not this. It's just a love story. And why can't we fall in love with a love story?
Well, and the best of Puccini's operas do that. They take situations, they take traits in human characters, and then they take just accidents of history.
Tosca
really does that, where everybody's just pursuing their own destiny and just mm-hmm. the way it doesn't come together.
And that's what human life is. That's what we are. We pursue our own destinies, just like you said it. And that's exactly what I feel that Pinkerton is doing. It's exactly what Butterfly is doing. She's pursuing her own destiny. Mm. She's leaving her religion to pursue a different religion. Maybe she just wants to live a different life. We don't know what really is happening and why she makes those choices and why the story is. So it's just a love story. Mm.
and then speaking of Cho-Cho-San, then keeping her vigil, you know, for years as she raises this child, we will hear just kind of one phrase of that lovely aria, Un bel di, one fine day. The words that come after the Un bel di, one fine day.
What? One fine day we will see. We will see him coming back to me is basically what she's saying. And I love how they use this aria in Fatal Attraction, just FYI. Mm-hmm. Another great love story.
Okay, let's hear again Elizabeth Caballero and just this segment of Un bel di. And so there it is. There's the sense of a great Puccini line, which, as Elizabeth was saying, and there is that you've already both alluded to it and said it, but that whole sense of how Puccini knows your voice, doesn't he?
Yeah, I really, really think he wrote really well for especially the female voice. He really loved the ladies, and it's so obvious in his operas how much he respected and admired women. And I love how he understood the bond between women, especially. He was raised by his mother and aunts, so he was surrounded by women his entire life. It must have been very difficult being married to him, I think. But he captured so lovely the bond between women. You see that in Bohème with Mimi and Musetta. You see that even in Turandot, where Turandot learns about the power of love, not from Calaf, but from Liu and her sacrifice. You see the bond between Suzuki and Cho-Cho San. So I really, really love how he captured the understanding. And when women are really, really tight with each other, there's a strong bond that it's really difficult to break. And he captured that. He really did.
Elizabeth Caballero, who will be Cho-Cho-San in this opera coming up Friday night and Sunday afternoon. And Don, obviously, the music is the essential art, but then there's so much more art to be done. Talk about how much this manifests in the staging and the whole production.
Yeah, well, you know, we've done we've raised the bar this year, and we've stepped it up a notch. Opera really is bringing everything together. It's not just the voices and the incredible orchestra, but it's also what you see. So you can kind of be transported to a different place. And we have gone above and beyond this year with our costuming and as well our sets. We hired a team out of New York who are incredibly unique. They build their sets almost exclusively out of intricately painted paper. You know, we have obviously, the platforms are not made of paper, and we have steel backing, and we've got a bunch else. But the visuals on this production are not only just stunning in and of themselves, but they're incredibly unique and appropriate for and Madame Butterfly, especially with how prevalent paper is in Japanese art. And so I think when you come to see this show, especially at our glorious Martin Wolzen Theater at the Fox, it's going to be all the senses all at the same time and the full experience of the visual element as well. So or costumes. Denise got them at, you know, vintage shops in New York City. And she
Wedding kimono. Oh, my God.
And she hasn't gone as traditional. I mean, there's a certain look that everybody goes with butterfly. And Denise actually fought for this a little bit. She said, no, the traditional wedding kimono in Japan is not red. That's what the opera does. That's actually not traditional. So she's actually done quite a bit of research. And she's pulled these colors in together. And it's not just the paper we have, but we have a fantastic lighting designer from out of town, but also projections on the stage that are just, it's gorgeous. I have to say, you're not going to see anything else like this in town. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And even the flowers we use for the flower duet, they're made out of paper. It's really lovely. Yeah. Really, really lovely.
Nice. Madame Butterfly, Friday night, 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. At the Martin Wilson Theater at the Fox. And so, Elizabeth, thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
And and Don, thank you. And we'll see a few of your other people on Thursday and carry forward the discussion.